T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, California is now gradually rolling back its reopenings. In counties where coronavirus infections and hospitalizations are surging, that means malls, in-restaurant dining, stores, gyms, salons, and more will be closed again. So we will go in depth.
Also on the program, while one Disney World reopens, another closes down. We'll go to a small school district in Arizona mourning the loss of one of their teachers to coronavirus, and others got sick. And the debates over reopening schools raging on. We'll also look at a changing presidential pardon power after a very controversial commutation by President Trump.
But let's begin with the latest action here in California. Andy Slavitt is a founder of the healthcare advocacy group, United States of Care. He served as ambassador for Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act. That was during the Obama administration. Andy, thank you for joining us. So what the governor here in California is doing in restaurant dining, barbershops, things like that, is that really going to do the trick? It seems to me that a lot of what's driving this are a lot of people wandering around the state with no masks on.
Actually, I think it's a great decision. Thanks for having me on. It turns out that outdoor transmission is less of a factor and less of a concern unless people are really in close proximity than if people are indoors in bars and restaurants. And we know from across the country that while a difficult decision it is to do, when bars and indoor dining close, that closes up much of the hot spots and things start to get better. So I think it's a good decision.
So we already had the bars and the indoor restaurants closed for the last couple of weeks here in L.A. and various other counties. But now he's moving to do the fitness centers, which maybe that makes sense to people because there's a whole lot of breathing going on, especially if you're taking a class. Places of worship, you can get people inside together. But what about these smaller places like these businesses you go in or hair salons or personal care? Because, I mean, last time I got my hair cut, the guy was so bundled up with PPE, I could hardly see him. So back to what Charles is saying, isn't this more of an issue of people getting together otherwise than maybe these one-on-one interactions for these small businesses that are still trying to get by?
Yeah, you're exactly right, particularly if you have less hair than you used to, like me. That's a pretty quick experience. That's right. You can, in a one-on-one context, even indoors, better with a window open, better with a fan, but there's not going to be certainly the likelihood of a super spreader event is low. And professional personal services folks are, by and large, doing a nice job protecting themselves because it's the key to their business and, of course, their own health. But when you start to gather large numbers of people, like in a bar, like in the church, where people have to talk loud or sing or yell or get near one another, you can have dozens of people infected. And before you know it, those dozens of people can infect people. And you're in a bad place.
Yeah, but isn't to some degree, Andy, the governor doing what he can't accomplish otherwise politically to go back to people who don't want to wear masks? I mean, yeah, there are supposedly fines in some places, but nobody's really giving out tickets. I've seen countless people walk right in front of police cars. They don't say boo because you can't make people do something they don't want to do. So it's kind of easier to close stores because you can control that, harder to control people. So to some degree, wasn't it just kind of a politically expedient thing to do? Even if it works, there's all that other things, to Mike's point, of all these other people roaming around, going to house parties, going to barbecues. He can't stop that. And he's not stopping that.
I think you do everything you can. And look, the more we know, The more this virus goes on, the more we learn about it. And we're learning that it passes through aerosolization, which essentially means it stays in the air. People leave very, very small droplets in. So, you know, it makes all the sense in the world, regardless of what the compliance is with masks. Even if we had great compliance with masks, it'd be very difficult to justify having bars open. I think there are going to be other states that are going to be following this example. In fact, I know for sure there are going to be some other states that are soon going to be following this example because the data is pretty clear. And look, you'd like to, the governor would like, I'm sure, to be able to do everything he can without mandate. And I think all the governors are playing around with what can you do based on suggestion and what do you really have to do to change a law. And, you know, unfortunately, I think we hear from people that if something is open, they feel like they've been given permission to do it and it must be safe. And so that's why these kinds of steps are necessary, harder and easier to enforce, as you say, than something like putting on a mask, which is also very, very important.
But once you close it again, they were closed already. You opened them and surprise, surprise, the infection rate went up. So you close them now for how long? 3 weeks, a month, 2 months, 3 months? Once people start going back, it's going to happen all over again.
Well, look, it's entirely possible that it could happen multiple times. But you have to be able to control. I mean, if you look at Japan, they are essentially doing what you're saying. They're getting cases down to close to zero. Then they're opening back up again. And then they monitor closely. And they see where, when they catch a case, they see where the spread's coming from. And if the spread's coming from someplace that's not being safe, they close it back down again because that's the only choice they have. This won't go on forever. You know, this feels like a lot of, and it is a lot of pain and difficulty and challenge and confusion for people to go through. But I think in retrospect, when we're a year from now or 2 years from now and we look back, I think it'll look a lot like just doing whatever it took, whatever's necessary to save as many lives as possible.
Andy Slavitt, founder of the Healthcare Advocacy Group for United States of Care, served as administrator of Medicare, Medicaid, Affordable Care Act in the Obama administration.